All right, Kevin Barker, so do we just tip our cap and move on and see what Chris Bassett has in store tomorrow?
Yep.
Pretty much.
That's it, buddy.
We shouldn't even bother doing the show.
I don't think so. Not
the
tonight.
Jays lost 7-0. Hunter Brown was very good. The Jays, newsflash, can't hit. Yeah. Anyhow, we'll be on with Blair. No, I'm just kidding. 7-0, the Houston Astros taking the Blue Jays out behind the woodshed and administering a thorough beating to the boys, who have now lost 3 in a row, 12-11, and Kevin Barker's 18-13. First month looking
not look
awfully tough, my friend. Awfully tough.
Man.
Hey, Kevin Gausman was awfully good for 4 innings. Ran into trouble in the 5th, 4 runs in the 5th inning. But let's be clear. Hunter Brown is Hunter Brown right now, statistically, is one of the 3 best starting pitchers in baseball, and he showed it tonight. He's on a 24 inning scoreless streak. He matched a season high with 9 strikeouts. I got to tell you this, Kevin. There have been games in his career where he's had to work harder to get 9 strikeouts because the Jays didn't put up much of a fight.
Yeah, I mean, they struggled, right? I think the windup sort of disrupt timing from a bunch of guys. Santander, to me, timing-wise, looks lost. You know, I was talking about that today on our show about his hands. I just don't understand that, right? I mean, the inability to adjust to things that – you know, a pitcher's trying to do to you. I understand that he has a lot of all or nothing, right? I mean, it's pull side, you're trying to thump, but man alive, like taking the same swing over and over and over again. There's only so long they can tell us that he's a slow starter.
Slow starter, though.
How long are you going to keep telling me that?
Well, until the slow start's over.
When was that? Do you have a date? Because I'd like to know.
I'm thinking around May 2nd. May 2nd, right. I'm going to start worrying.
That's it, May 2nd.
Yeah, May 3rd.
Good to know. Hear from the wise one. That's what we need to hear.
Right.
Do not
panic. It's early.
Absolutely. There you go. It's early. They are 12-11, so you got that to hang your hat on. Look, I just think Hunter Brown's better in the lineup. I mean, I can come on here and tell you all the different things they need to try and do. I do think that windup with the crossfire, you know, the 98, sometimes the 99, located at the bottom of the zone. He can go away with the slider. The changeup was a nice mix between the four-seamer and the sinker. I mean, the sinker and the four-seamer are about the same speed, which that's very rare, right? A lot of the times these guys that throw four-seamers really hard, the sinker is 4 or 5 miles an hour slower. His ain't. I mean, that thing's running in on the righties, and he throws that slider sort of tunneling off that thing. You know, he's throwing it for strikes. He's throwing it for strikes. That means you got to cover east and west and south. Against lefties, he's throwing that 98 four-seamer above the zone, and you got to cover that too. You got to pick one. I just think, you know, when it comes to being able to adjust in-game, lineup's not real good at doing that right now. And until the big three start doing something, I don't even think we should call them the big three anymore. What are they? Like, we can't do that. They're not doing anything. We're not going to add big to the three. We just call them the three until they start doing something. So this is sort of where
top of the order.
There you go. This is where the top of the order needs to earn their money. How's that? Gets dudes like this. Because after the third guy, you thought it was going to be a struggle. Springer's having some really good bats, right? I mean, he's competing and, you know, he's taking
stealing
pitches
bases.
He should. I mean, third base after stealing second and third with nobody out. You look the way you look. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you just wad the piece of paper up, you throw it in the garbage, you come back tomorrow, and hopefully you score first, give Bassett a chance to pitch with the lead. That's what he needs to do. Now he can start thinking, if you get him the lead, more about adding, subtracting, getting these dudes all screwed up on the on-deck circle. Hopefully they do that. He can give them a good start tomorrow, and they can win 2-1.
If you look at the way that Brown worked over Santander, this gets to his first 2 at-bats, you pretty much saw his whole arsenal. First at-bat, 97, 98, 98, pop up to the catcher. Thanks for coming. So next at-bat, Kevin, curveball, cutter, change, fastball. P6. Thanks again. I mean, a guy like Anthony Santander, given what he's going through right now, he's just easy pickings for this.
Well, Well, yeah, you look at the first inning, to your point about what he was saying. He said the first three guys in the order saw 11 pitches, 9 four-seamers. Yeah. You know, and then he had a three-pitch K with Bo, and then he had that three-pitch pop out to Santander. That's the point I think you're trying to make is, you know, often and early you got to get after guys like this with the best hitters in your lineup. That's why John stacking those three dudes top of the order first inning, hopefully they can get a center cut heater, run into one, give their pitcher a lead where he can go out there and attack the zone. It's just – again, I said this. This dude's a bully. Well, you know, we had Jeff Blum on today, and he agreed with me. I mean, this guy thinks he's good, and he was doing it with a good old country hardball, and then he started sprinkling in that slider, tunneling off that two-seamer in. And when you're doing that, adding that wind-up crossfire, I just – against the lineup like this, at least right now, it'll look the way it looked.
416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. It is Blue Jays talk with Blair and Barker. The Blue Jays losing 7-0 to the Houston Astros, their third loss in a row after losing the final two games of the series against the Seattle Mariners. Carlos in Richmond Hill, you're on Blue Jays talk.
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call. Two questions for you, kind of related to one another. The first, it felt like the game was over when the Astros scored that first run in the fifth inning. When the Jays get a man on third and less than two out, like the defense is giving you the run, do you feel they need to maybe start shortening the swings, like the Jimenez and Kirk strikeouts were super frustrating? And secondly, going back to Saturday's game, I was at that one. With all due respect to Barnes, it feels like we forfeited the game when we brought him in. This concept of a bird in hand, I don't understand with Garcia and Hoffman. I mean, we've had two blowouts since. Obviously, hindsight's 20/20, but we had the Thursday off day. Like, they threw both under 15 pitches, I think, in the game leading into Saturday. I don't understand why the Jays will do that sometimes, where we will literally just give a game away by not going to a high leverage option.
Thank you very much for the call. I'll pass that over to Kevin. I mean, I think it's pretty clear. Hoffman and Jimmy Garcia are going to be used in games where they're winning. Beyond that, with the runners in scoring position and shortening up,
looked to me like they tried.
It certainly did tonight. Yeah. I mean, the fact of the matter is, once you get past George Springer, you're asking Jimenez, Kirk, and Ernie Clement. God love Ernie Clement for what he's done, but I mean, Ernie Clement, I think on a really good team is probably your top option off the bench. I don't think he's an everyday third baseman on a really good team.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't ask. You can't rely on Jimenez, Kirk, and Clement. You can't rely on them. You know what Jimenez gave you early in the year was fool's gold. He's not a guy who's going to hit 20 home runs. I mean, that was nice while it lasted. You're not going to get that all the time from him. So, you know, if you're not going to score, if you're not going to get any runs out of the top three or the top four, you really are going to be begging. You really, especially against elite pitching.
Well, I think to the caller's point, though, you know, against a dude who obviously they know coming into this thing that he loves his heater. You got to get it ready. I think that's to the caller's point, is it just looked like they were taking a few more bigger hacks against high-octane velocity when you just needed sort of that, right, get them on, get them over, get them in. George did all the hard work. All you had to do was, to the caller's point, I think, shorten up. Easier said than done. I mean, righty's coming in, we're hitting what off his four-seamer? .130-something?
Yeah.
Which, you know, again, I think .132 coming in versus righty.
And quite frankly –
it's just a hard get, man.
Like, yeah, and
you're
quite frankly,
a lot from Kirk. You are.
Yeah, quite frankly, I'm sure there are a lot of better righties than Jimenez, Kirk, and Clement who have, you know,
Jimenez is left-handed.
I'm saying I'm sure there are better righty hitters than Kirk and Clement who are part of that.
Again, I hate to bring this up, but when you give some money to a catcher, you're asking him to do it on both sides of the ball, and you would like to see, you know, some better at-bats. Again, Brown was just better than they are. That's, I think, the reality of this. Right now, against a guy like Brown, they just in-game having to make adjustments is very hard for them. And we've said it until we can't say it anymore. If the first three guys against dudes like this are not doing it, it's probably not going to get done. Usually, sometimes it will, you know, just because of the way they can steal bases. And a lot of the guys who are left-handed down there can make some contact on certain pitches in certain zones. But against dudes like this, I mean, you're playing with some things sometimes that, you know, always is not in your favor. I think that's what was happening here tonight.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Sam in Hamilton, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. First of all, it's so frustrating watching this offense. I mean, I can't believe it's been 40 straight innings without a home run. And this is 2025. You need to hit home runs. And I don't know why they're not hitting home runs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is the, you know, what are we talking about with Bo? 23 games now, Bo hasn't got a home run.
Yeah, Vladdy's got one.
Santander's got two. I mean, as a team, what, they've got 12 home runs? I think only Kansas City has hit fewer going into today. I think Kansas City has 11. Yeah, listen, everything you hear is that everybody's on the same page and it's all kumbaya and life is good and... You know, I don't know if the khakis have been put in their place or they got different khakis or I don't know, whatever it is, but everybody seems to think that everything's hunky-dory. The only problem is they're not hitting home runs. And, you know, the three guys in this lineup who are supposed to be hitting home runs, they just aren't doing it. And, you know, maybe when I don't know what John does. We talked about this on our show today. What do you do with the lineup to make it better?
He moved Springer up in the cleanup spot.
He moved Springer up.
I mean, that was smart. Yeah.
There's not. I mean, Rodenstraw, Clement, starting Addison Barger against Hunter Brown. I mean, there's just. I know Joe Siddle was talking about that. There's not a lot they can do. I mean, first of all, there's nobody in the minor leagues who's going to come up and hit. There just isn't. The Jays aren't the only team in that situation. There are a lot of teams in baseball that don't have guys who are going to, you know, the days of bringing up a guy who's going to come from the minors and go off and hit 20, 25 home runs in half a year or something like that, that's not happening anymore. But even having said that, the Jays minor league system is really thin. Dalton Varsho, Hazel May reported that Dalton Varsho has reported to the Buffalo Bison, scheduled to play tomorrow. Maybe he joins the Jays in Yankee Stadium, although, Kevin, I've got to guess that at this point you might as well wait and just have him join you when you're back in Toronto.
Make sure.
Right. So once Dalton Varsho is here, I think then we'll get a better sense of what the everyday lineup is going to look like.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's going to be the answer. Even with the healthy Dalton Varsho, this team still needs another slugger. That's obvious. But I just don't think you're going to get that. You're not going to be able to trade for it. Trade deadline, most of the guys that move are pitchers. So to me, the guys you have here are the guys that are going to have to get it done one way or another.
It is a little head-scratching, though, that last year you saw some of the struggles, some of the concerns, how long they lasted. It's sort of carried over to this year. It's the same kind of thing, right? I mean, it's – look, you can't force homers. John's, you know, not trying to tell guys who are line drives hitter thinking middle of the other way wants to stay on top of a baseball or at least have the mindset of doing that to go up and uppercut all the time and try and hit homers. Like, that's just not feasible, especially against dudes that throw as hard as guys like Hunter Brown. But it is a little amazing, Jeff, that the consistency of how long
– Yep.
I don't want to say this is a slump, but it's a theme. Like, I just, you know,
no, that's a good way to put it. Yes.
Yeah, it's like
a theme. It's a theme.
It's just like, is it something they're saying? Is it a weird approach? I don't like it. Is it some kind of approach that, you know, they were talking about which club you're taking out of a golf bag? I mean, maybe that's a mindset that they're giving them that just not carrying over at the plate. I don't know if that's it. I don't know if that's a fair way to say it because they are getting hits. They are getting a bunch of runners on base. I do think a bunch of guys are trying too hard. We saw that last year. We saw Vladdy do that at the beginning of the year. We're seeing it now. Like, we're seeing Bo do that with the Big Daddy Hacks, the flying open, You know, he's cut it down a little bit, but he's still doing it some. I think that for me is why his bat's dragging a little. You know, to hit homers, you got to catch those things out front, dude. Like, letting it travel as hard as they're throwing ain't going to work. So Santander looks lost. I think that's the big one, is how lost he looks. If he was thumping, at least hitting 4, 5, 6, somewhere in that range, right, hitting a two-run homer every once in a while, I think this would sort of be tamed down a little bit when he looks the way he's looking. Now, you know, Bo's thinking, man alive, Santander's not doing it. Now I got to try and do it. And Vladdy's thinking, man, I signed for all this. Now it's just but it is odd, right? It is odd how it's sort of carried over to this year, and it looked sort of the way it looked last year. Individually, it just looks like they just carry on and carry on and carry on and carry on and can never just dig themselves out of it, which is just sort of odd in 2025 with all the resources that they have to go to tell them what's wrong and how quickly they should be able to fix it. And it's just not happening. It's a little odd.
We haven't really talked about Kevin Gausman yet. Kevin Gausman was awfully good until running into the 4-run fifth inning. Splitter looked to be really effective. You know, he got a great play from Alan Roden in the first inning to kind of set things up for him. Yeah. A couple double plays. Yeah. He looked, I thought he looked really good, Kevin. And then that single by Cameron Smith, and it was you couldn't stop the bleeding. Single, double. Jose Altuve, I love Buck, was watching the game. Buck basically forecast that Altuve was going to swing at the first pitch.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, that's what happened, and he drove in a couple of runs. And to me, that was the end of the game. At that point, it's 3-0, and, you know, we might as well have been doing Blue Jays talk in the sixth inning and saved everybody a lot of work.
Yeah, let's start here. Altuve trying to steal a base with Yordan Alvarez up, down 0-2 in a count, running to second base with his head down. I mean, it's a great play from Roden. Make the play, throw a strike to first base. I mean, you know, I think it was a nice little in-between hop for Vladdy. Wasn't the hardest to pick. So, yeah, it was a really nice play. You know, you mentioned Gausman, right? The split finger for me, because he's throwing it harder, it was up 2 miles an hour tonight. It looks to me a little more like a changeup than it does sort of what his split finger. It's carrying the zone a little bit more. It looks to me like he's trying to get called strikes with it. You know, that little different speeds in his fastball velocity on his four-seamer was up 1.5 miles tonight. He consistently was throwing that, right? He didn't have to turn around all the time. It just looked to me like mechanically, tempo-wise, everything was coming out. His finish was where he wanted it to be. It was on point. You know, he was unpredictable with the slider. That just added, I think, a few more sort of in-between swings on his other two pitches, his four-seamer and his split finger. He had it working. The fifth inning, you know, the fastball command was a little off. A couple of those hits he gave up were right down the middle. You mentioned the Altuve split finger. It was just the middle, a little up. Dude's very aggressive early in count. That's what you do with runners on base. You are aggressive, hunting the middle of the plate. That's what Buck was talking about. Don't throw down the middle.
After Diaz struck out for the first out of the inning, it took seven pitches for the Astros to put three runs across. They were very aggressive. Smith, Rogers, DeZenzo, and then of course Jose Altuve. They went up and they were very aggressive.
Yeah, a couple of those, the fastball in, that was bad luck. The jam shot to right on the single. The Paredes two-strike fastball was up. I mean, that was sort of bad luck, the base hit to right. So, you know, he had some bad luck in that inning. He made some bad pitches. You know, you would think as a starting pitcher, it wouldn't kill you. Going down, what was it, 4-0 in that inning? I mean, if you're watching the game and watching the lineup for the Blue Jays and watching who was throwing against them, you know,
yeah, you knew at that point.
You was thinking because you need homers. You need slug to get back in it, and just for whatever reason, ain't giving you that.
John Schneider was asked about Kevin Gausman's outing.
You know, Altuve, you know, good hitter, first pitch splitter that he struck him out on the at bat before. You know, the double to right, you know, I think kind of just got that going a little bit. And, you know, I think there was a couple two strike hits too. I don't know. I mean, not his stuff was the same. You know, I didn't expect Paredes to go oppo on the ground. It's not really his MO. And, Yeah, I think it was just kind of one weird inning, but I thought his stuff was really, really good tonight.
I lost swing and miss on the splitter, which we haven't seen a ton of this year. I mean, what allowed him to kind of get that back tonight?
I think it was just in the right spot. You know, a lot of them were carrying the zone really well, and there was a few that were really close that they didn't swing at. When it's doing that, it's usually pretty good.
That was John Schneider talking about Kevin Gausman's performance. And again, as my friend Kevin Barker pointed out, you give up four runs in that inning with Hunter Brown on the mound and the Jays offense going through what it's going through. I mean, that was essentially the ball game. There was not going to be any hint of a comeback. Tonight, the Jays 7-0 losers to the Houston Astros. The first game of the three-game series will step away and come back with more. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we sign up for, is pitch every 5 days. You know, sometimes we get lucky and have an extra day, but, you know, right now we only have four guys, so it's kind of what we're going to have to do for a little bit and kind of see where that ends up. Kind of got some days off coming up, but this time through we might have to slip off a bit.
Yeah, there you go. Life as a Blue Jays starter. Now the Blue Jays plan to skip the fifth rotation spot this turn. So if you're interested, the scheduled starters for the rest of the road trip: Kevin Gausman started tonight, Chris Bassett tomorrow, Bowden Francis on Wednesday. Thursday's an off day. Then it's Berríos, Gausman, Chris Bassett. The Jays are planning to return to a five-man rotation for the next trip through. But that was Kevin Gausman talking about, you know,
Same old.
Well,
that's what he's saying.
As it was in 2023 when Alec Manoah fell off a cliff. The Jays, you know, the good news, I guess, is Max Scherzer. The cortisone injection in the knuckle seems to have had an immediate positive effect. But, I mean, he's got to get built up again. He's not – I'm not counting on him in the month of May, put it that way.
Yeah.
Right now.
Sound that way.
I'm not counting on him in the month of May. So they're going to have to come up with something, and that something can't be Easton Lucas. I mean, I guess it can. I shouldn't say that. I guess it can. They may not have any choice.
I'm sure Schultz is going to get another run.
Yeah, why not? Let's see if he can be.
Maybe they go opener, depending on who they're facing, how many lefties.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, all this can be solved if they get hot offensively. If they start scoring some runs,
yeah,
it just make everything easier. When you're not, this is why you're sort of leaning as much as you're leaning on a bunch of older guys to get you through the big giant bump early in the season that you're going through as a team. But, man alive, like, if you're in the lineup, dude, like, you got to be going home going, man alive, we got to do something. Like,
yep.
Seriously, let's go.
Before we go, let's take a look at the AL East standings brought to you by Bet365. At Bet365, you can watch thousands of live games, build your own bet, and can even make a bet while the game's still being played. 19+, play responsibly. Ontario only. Taking a look at the American League East, the Yankees losing tonight to the Cleveland Guardians, 6-4. The Boston Red Sox beating the Chicago White Sox 4-2. So as we look at the standings right now, the Yankees are 14-9. Barker's Red Sox are 13-11. Barker's Blue Jays are 12-11. Barker's Orioles are 9-12. And Barker's Rays are 9-13.
Wow.
So there you go.
I don't want the last one.
You don't want the Rays?
I'll take the first three.
Well, yeah, you're such a front runner. You're such a front runner.
It takes one to know one.
Well, you know, at least I acknowledge my front runner status. You know, at least I wear it as a badge of honor. I guess 7-0 the Blue Jays losing to the Houston Astros. We talked a little bit about Kevin Gausman, about how good the splitter was tonight. This was Kevin Gausman talking about his evolving splitter usage and teams not swinging as much at the split.
You know, the book is out on me, so, you know, guys aren't as inclined to chase the split, so I think I just need to kind of throw it a little higher. And for me right now, it's been a hard adjustment to make, and I got some ground balls and some, you know, splitters up kind of higher up in the zone tonight, which is a good sign, but you know, the shape of that pitch isn't necessarily exactly what I want right now, but you know, just kind of go back to the drawing board and got another start in a couple of days, so you know, it's not going to get any easier, so you know, gotta kind of figure it out.
Yeah, we've talked about a little bit about this, Kevin. I think a couple of weeks ago you did a great job breaking down. He's searching for something with the splitter, isn't he?
Yeah, it looks like a changeup to me. I mean, that's what it sounds to me like he's sort of trying to evolve it into, is he's trying to change speeds on it because he's throwing harder with his four-seamer, allows him to get away with a few more of those carrying the zone split thing. He's calling it a split finger. I'll continue to call it that because he's gripping it that way. But it ain't splitting. So how do you call it a split finger anymore? Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, how long can this last? Who knows? I think it'll last as long as he can be unpredictable with the slider to righties. And as long as the velocity on the four-seamer stays the same, I think you'll get away with it. Once the dipping of the velocity with the four-seamer starts, that's when I think you'll be a little, you know, harder getting through certain lineups. And he's just throwing really hard. Like, he's basically throwing
through 98 Kirky. Tonight. He hit
through
98
Kirky.
Tonight.
Yeah, it's going through him. He's not throwing it to the catcher. He's throwing it through the catcher. So that's a good sign. I mean, I feel for him. You can tell he's grinding. I mean, that grip, I've talked to quite a few people that are around that. He's really been searching about, you know, how much pressure he puts on one part of his finger and, you know, how he can change his grip to make it break more 12 to 6. Like, there's a lot of thought going into all this and the way it's spinning. And, you know, he's a normal guy that spins it and looks a little bit like a sinker. He don't want that anymore because they ain't swinging at it like – just listening to him talk there, you can tell he's grinding through it. But again, I can get away with it. You could tell they were cheating to get the velocity.
Yep.
That would the hitter sometimes is telling you all you need to know. And when that's happening, he can get away with missing and carrying the zone. Just fingers crossed he continues to maintain that velocity and can give him the starts that he's been giving him.
Yeah,
score him some runs. How about that?
Well, yeah, it would be nice to have a little bit of wiggle room there as you're attempting to, you know, find what you're searching for. Jason of Vancouver, you're on Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Going well.
My question is for you. You guys were just kind of talking about it. Like, Brown was just throwing fastball after fastball tonight, and this is a major league team and they're not able to hit the fastball. Like, that really concerns me. And the other thing, I always just remember when you had Alex Anthopoulos on a couple of years ago, he talked about having power pitching and power bats. And right now, really, other than Kevin Gausman, there's no other power pitchers on this team, maybe the closer. And then there's absolutely no power bats. And I'm sorry, but when you're paying Vladdy now $500 million, you have to have higher expectations than just hitting singles. They're hard singles, but he's hitting singles and he's not hitting home runs.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. Clearly, you're in Barker's camp when it comes to Vladdy. As soon as Vladdy signed that contract, he's got to change everything.
It's reality. No, that's not true. But this is why you give him that amount of money, is you think he can carry your team when other guys aren't getting it done.
I don't expect it to happen overnight. The stuff that he was going through before he signed the contract isn't going to magically disappear because he signed the contract. It may take a while. He's just the same guy the day after he signed the contract as he was the day before, getting out the same way, susceptible to the same pitches. That doesn't change. You know that.
You live in a different world than I do.
Well, no, I live in a world of reality where I don't expect a guy to you know, put on a cape just because he signed a big contract and go out that day and hit three home runs. This is not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. It's like a week and a half ago.
That's fine. It's a week and a half ago. That's not that long ago.
Was it yesterday?
It's not that long. It's not that long a run, Kevin.
Again, you knew this was coming. I mean, you can't be surprised that all of a sudden people are starting to think, well, the rest of the team is not hitting. This is why you're giving this guy tons of money to help out when everybody else is not getting it done. That's why you give him that. You can't expect people not to think that.
That's
the way it is.
I think most smart baseball fans know that it's not going to change overnight with Vladdy. It's just not. It's silly to think that it is.
I'm a really smart baseball fan, and I've been in a lot of locker rooms. I know how it is. So you,
well,
you're
clearly you and Ryan Spielberg's disagreed, and he's been in locker rooms too.
He's living in a different world than I am. I mean, go ask a bunch of people that work for Sportsnet that played baseball. Ask them what they think. They think the same way I think. And they've been on teams with a bunch of rich people.
I think that's
the way it is.
I think it may be the way it is, but to me it's silly.
Nobody said Vladdy should turn into Aaron Judge, but
saying that.
Because we know that's not going to happen. We know he's not hitting 60 homers. It's not happening.
But he's getting he's got $500 million contract. He's got to hit all those homers.
It's times like this that every once in a while you'd like to see a guy say, I got this, jump on, and in Santander, you figure it out. Bo, you figure it out. That's what people are saying. There's nothing wrong with that.
He's got nobody around him other than Bo.
He didn't have anybody around him last year either.
Santander is not giving him any protection.
He didn't have protection last year.
Well, he had more than he's getting out of Santander right now.
He did. You're crazy.
More than he's getting out of Santander right now.
You're crazy.
I'm just saying you can't expect a guy to change automatically because he signed the contract. He came into the game hitting 300. It's not like he's Anthony Santander. He's not that bad right now, so give the guy time.
Yeah, I don't think anybody cares about the 300. They care about the homer and the 10 RBIs. The rest of the team's not doing it. That's what they
care
about.
I'm just saying it will come, but it's not going to necessarily come in a week. I mean, that's just not realistic. It's not realistic.
Well, your opinion is not the same as mine, so we'll have to, I guess, agree to disagree on that.
Yeah, or you could just say I'm right and we can move on.
That's because I don't think you're right. I think you're wrong. How's that?
Yeah. Tell you what, man. You guys and money. Money changes everything with you guys. Different person.
Again, when you give them that amount, you think very highly of somebody. It's like the Kirky thing. Now I talk offensively Kirky. About Kirky. That's reality.
There we go. This is gonna be
all
like
year
all
if they're
year.
Not hitting absolutely all year.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, 7-0. Vladdy lost the game for the Blue Jays tonight. The Houston Astros.
He didn't help.
Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Perth and Smith Falls. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986, so protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center, or you can visit crown.com. Crown. Canada's number one rust protection.